the Box City's Score Chapter, and News Talk 1150 WHBY are pleased to bring you Biz Talk. Join Tony and Randy as they talk with entrepreneurs and professionals who share their experiences from starting to sustaining growth. Learn the skills needed for your business to be successful and get interactive by calling 281-1150. If you missed anything, you can catch the Biz Talk podcast at www.biztalkwithscore.com. And now, here is Biz Talk.
And good morning and welcome to another edition of Biz Talk this morning. We're really glad you joined us. My name is Tony Bush in the studio this morning with our guest, Sarah DeBruin from Legal Business Edge. But first, we want to just tell you that the show is brought to you each Saturday morning by the Fox City Score Chapter. Randy's on vacation. He's out in Arizona with his sons. I believe he's a new grandpa. So that's exciting news for Randy. Congratulations, Randy. We're going to be talking with Sarah DeBruin this morning about some legal matters. We want to cover things like intellectual property rights, Digital Property Act, the new overtime law. And we're going to talk about some restrictive covenants and non-compete agreements. And if you have a question for Sarah, please give us a call at 281-1150, 281-1150. And with that, good morning, Sarah.
Good morning, Tony. I'm really happy to be here
again.
Yeah,
thank you. Yeah, thanks for coming in. And I also want to mention that Legal Business Edge is a sponsor of BizTalk, so we appreciate your support for BizTalk and the Score Chapter.
Well, you're welcome. I'm happy to do that.
And you're a Score mentor.
That I am, and I enjoy that as well.
Yep. So tell us a little bit about yourself, Sarah. What's your background as an attorney, and tell us about Legal Business Edge.
Sure. I've been practicing law for over 27 years. I went to law school in Ohio, worked for a very large national firm there, and moved back to my home state of Wisconsin. I was raised as a Wisconsinite in the Appleton area, and I went to work for a manufacturing company in the area as in-house counsel for 10 years.
Sure.
In 2011, I left that position in part due to family demands at that time and founded my own law firm, Legal Business Edge, LLC. I am currently located on the north side of Appleton, right off of Northland and Mead Street, and my practice focuses generally on business matters, negotiating and drafting contracts, intellectual property issues, compliance issues, some employment issues, and I do some estate planning as well.
Mm-hmm. That sounds like a pretty exciting practice to keep you busy.
I am pretty busy with a lot of different issues. Banking law is another one that I'm doing quite a bit of. I also do legal due diligence and mergers and acquisitions, review of purchase agreements and things like that.
Okay. How do folks find you, Sarah, if they want to get a hold of you?
Well, my website is www.legalbusinessedge.com. My phone number is 920-851-7761, but I really encourage you to look at my website so you can see the areas of practice that I'm involved in.
Mm-hmm. And your email contact is on your website as well if someone wants to shoot you an email.
Sure, it's just sdebruin at legalbusinessedge.com.
And you're seeing new clients? You have appointments only, or can folks... Typically, you want them to drop in because you might be with a client.
Sure. What you can do is go to my website and press a button that says I want a free consultation, and I will sit with a new client for an hour or two, talk about what their business legal needs are, and we'll go from there. If they want to hire me, we'll start an engagement letter.
That's very nice that you don't charge for the discovery time, just learning what their needs are and helping them to articulate those needs, so that they can decide whether or not to hire you as an attorney for
sure. Sure. Part of my legal philosophy is I want my clients to know their options, know if I am the right attorney for them, and I need to know if I have the skills to help them, and I don't want to charge them time to learn that.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk a little bit real quickly about intellectual property rights. That's an area of expertise you have, and we don't need to go down into the weeds with it, I think, but if we just give a definition of what is an intellectual property right. There are patents, there are copyrights, there are trademarks. What is that?
The intellectual property has several categories: trade secrets, confidential information of a business. You mentioned patents, there's trademarks, there's copyrights for works of authorship in a business. Those are generally rights that can be protected by a small business in a number of ways without having to go down the path of filing a very expensive patent application, okay. For instance.
Those can be expensive.
Absolutely.
And defending them is expensive.
You do have an obligation to defend them, and, you know, a patent is only worth the amount of money you have to defend it.
Yes. Yep. So what's the difference between a trademark and a copyright and a registered R emblem?
Sure. Well, automatically, let's just cover copyrights first. Mm-hmm. Automatically, a work of authorship or, for instance, a work of art, a song, you know, you always hear about the Beatles copyright mm-hmm. songs and things like that. A copyright is automatically created in the author's name once a work of authorship or work of art is put into a tangible form. So okay. Once it's written down, it's a copyright. You can go to the U.S. Copyright Act law website, uscopyright.gov, and you can register a particular piece of work for $45. It's automatic, and that gives you the right to enforce and get damages against people who infringe upon okay. the use of your work.
Mm-hmm.
Now, a trademark is different. A trademark is a symbol, a name, a symbol or logo combination with
like a
name
brand or something.
That is a brand mm-hmm. that identifies the source of a particular group of products or classification of services. For instance, the Mickey Mouse ears.
Yeah.
A trademark of Walt Disney, because automatically you look at the Mickey Mouse ears and
you think of Disney right
Disney.
Away.
Yeah, that's the type of thing. Or the Nike swoosh is a trademark.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
You have a unique name for your business, Tony Priora Cashflow Management. Mm-hmm. That is a trademark. We trademarked that.
Mm-hmm.
And that is an identification of associating your brand name with the particular services you provide your clients.
No, so trademark could be the little TM in the exponential part of the script, or it could be a circle R.
Yes.
What's the difference
the
there?
The TM means you filed a trademark application that has not yet been registered.
Okay.
Once it is registered, you put the circle R. You replace the TM with the circle R.
And how long is that good for?
A trademark is as good as it can last forever as long as you keep the maintenance payments up.
The trademark being the circle R emblem, it's good for 5 years or 10?
Well, the first maintenance fee is due between the fifth and sixth year sure. after mm-hmm. registration.
Yep.
You have to pay a maintenance fee, and then it's another maintenance fee between the ninth and tenth year,
mm-hmm.
and then thereafter, every 10 years, you have to keep that trademark alive by paying another maintenance fee.
For as long as you want to keep it alive.
Sure. So Coca-Cola okay. may have
yeah.
trademarks that go on forever and ever. Kimberly-Clark may as well. They have lawyers that keep track of all those trademarks.
And it's really worth protecting that, because when people build a business, they become known as the GM shop or whatever shop it is, and that's their brand, and that draws that's credibility and value, and that's an intangible asset the company owner could possibly sell when they sell their business.
Definitely. That along with copyrights, trademarks, patents, those are all capital assets
mm-hmm.
that can be bought in a purchase or a sale of a business,
mm-hmm.
and they're evaluated either as goodwill, or they may have some value because of the revenue stream
sure.
the company would be deriving from those pieces of intellectual property.
So you mentioned it would be about $45 to go to get a copyright at copyright.com, was it?
Yeah, I think it's uscopyright.gov.
.gov?
Yes.
And then what does it cost to get a registered trademark? That's a process that takes longer?
It does take longer. It can take 6 months to 9 months is the typical period that I find. The registration fee or the application fee is $325.
Go to the USPTO?
Yeah, that is the USPTO.gov. That's the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office
sure.
website to do an application. If you are doing a name trademark, You may be able to do that yourself, but there are various ways you need to search on that name and look for similar names and make sure you're not interfering or confusing with another name that's similar to yours in the same class of products or services.
Sure. And you have extensive years of background on this. I think you worked in this area even in Ohio, and especially with that firm you worked with in Wisconsin for 10 years. So you've been through the back alleys, and you kind of know a few shortcuts. And when people come to you and want to do something with intellectual property, they're going to be in good hands because they're going to know their options.
Right. They will know their options, and I've been in actually federal court defending copyrights and trademarks. So.
Okay. Well, that's pretty cool. We're going to be taking a break in a few minutes. But tell us about the Digital Property Act, Sarah. What is the Digital Property Act?
Well, that's something really unique that has arisen in Wisconsin law in the last year.
Mm-hmm.
The Digital Property Right Act covers a person's social media accounts, like
a Facebook.
It could be a Pinterest account. It could be in relation to a business, a LinkedIn account. Mm. Often a single member LLC, for instance, has a Facebook page, and they advertise various events through that page.
Social media marketing.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Facebook and those social media sites set up their parameters and conditions and terms of privacy and use so that only the owner can control that account. What the Digital Property Act in Wisconsin does is allow, once a person is deceased, allow the estate representative to go in and take control of those social media websites and shut them down.
It's just like someone handling a bank account or something.
Well, sure. Yeah. And if that act were not in place, basically nobody can shut down that Facebook page because it was in the original business owner's name.
What happens to it then?
Well, it stays there live forever. You can like it forever.
Really?
You know, the
could have complications.
Well, it does. One of the things that is a real good tip, I think, for small businesses who do have social media accounts and use social media is go to the social media site's control and access settings, and you can invite another administrator in to control that account. So you have basically a co-administrator.
So if something happens to the owner of the business, the survivor could shut it down, make modifications, even
Correct.
Make an announcement that George died. He's passed on with regrets. We hate to inform you of that, but he's passed on. And then maybe shut the site down
Correct.
In 2 weeks or something.
Yeah, and that's exactly what the Digital Property Act in Wisconsin accomplishes.
Sure.
Without that, you know,
it goes on and on and on
if you don't have another co-administrator.
So it's a good idea to, if anyone's listening, if they have a Facebook account, they're in business, or any digital account, prepare some sort of a co-administrator.
Absolutely, in the settings of the social media site itself.
Sure. Well, that's real important. With that, we're going to take our first break. We'll come back on the other side. We'll continue our conversation with Sarah DeBruin of Legal Business Edge. And you're listening to BizTalk and WHBY, Real Local Radio.
I am attorney Sarah DeBruin, owner of Legal Business Edge, and I want you to know your options. Intellectual property doesn't have to be confusing. If you have an original idea and are considering patents, trademarks, copyrights, or protecting your company logo, let me partner with you and make it easy to build and protect your intellectual property portfolio. Legal Business Edge, know your options. Call 920-851-7761 or visit legalbusinessedge.com.
Fox Communities Credit Union.
You've been looking for a new house.
Hey, this one's nice.
You're searching online and touring open houses.
Ooh, I like this one.
It's time to get pre-approved. And nobody makes it faster or easier than Fox. Get free pre-approval for your loan right now. Come into one of 17 Fox locations or get pre-approved online. You can also check your loan rate online. How easy is that? Just visit foxcu.org.
Okay, that was really easy.
Once you find the home of your dreams, don't let the stress of the home loan get in your way. talk to the mortgage lending experts at Fox Communities Credit Union. And you can get a home loan with as little as 3% down payment. Just 3% down on your loan.
Fox made it happen.
You can find the home of your dreams. Fox, helping you make life happen. Equal housing opportunity lender.
Fox Communities.
Need help taming your business's financial beast? Albertson Hailing CPAs can simplify your financial situation and guide you from payroll to tax planning and more. Let's crack the whip on your business's finances, helping you feel more comfortable. Visit AlbertsHailing.com. Albertson Hailing. Personal connections, positive results. Securities and advisory services offered through Woodbury Financial Services, Inc. Member FINRA, SIPC. Tax and accounting services offered through Albertson Hailing CPAs, which is not affiliated with Woodbury Financial.
And welcome back to Biz Talk this morning. We're talking with Sarah DeBruin, an attorney and owner of Legal Business Edge here in Appleton, LLC. And we want to acknowledge Sarah's contributions to the SCORE chapter. She's a sponsor of Biz Talk, and Sarah's also a mentor in a SCORE chapter. So as a mentor, Sarah can offer free legal guidance to a client but can't really do any work. SCORE doesn't let mentors do the work for the client, but as a SCORE mentor, we can provide critiques and advice and that sort of thing, but we just can't do any work or we can't represent the client. I have that same restriction with my business at Prior Cashflow Management, as do some of the other members of our chapter who still own businesses or they work for a company. But they're all willing to really provide free counseling. So if you're in business or you're thinking of starting a business, contact us at SCORE at foxcities.score.org. We're located in the Fox Cities Chamber Building. We service an 8-county area from Appleton to Oshkosh to Fond du Lac. And we offer free confidential mentoring, advice, guidance to those folks who are looking for it. We have disciplines among our chapter members that include marketing, IT, legal, accounting, product, innovation, workflow, banking, cash flow, pretty much everything. So if you have an issue or a question, and you just want to bounce something off someone who's had experience in those areas, check us out at foxcities.score.org. It's free and confidential, and you'll be glad you did.
Right, and often we have several mentors, for instance, working with a client who may have several questions about their business.
And our byline is SCORE for the life of your business, not just one meeting.
Right.
So you can grow with SCORE Chapter, and we're a national organization. We're one of about 350 chapters around the country with about 11 or 12,000 volunteers around the country. Sarah, we were talking a little bit in the first segment about intellectual property rights and Digital Property Act. Tell us a little bit. We're going to take another break in about 4 or 5 minutes, but let's start talking about restrictive covenants, because that's kind of a segue from the intellectual property.
Sure. A lot of businesses don't want to go the patent route, so they have technology or an invention that they use in their business that they keep as a trade secret. And one way of protecting those trade secrets is by having employment agreements with restrictive covenants in them. Restrictive covenants are non-compete provisions, a provision that you can't, once your employment is terminated, go and solicit clients of your prior employer or customers,
like,
or employees.
Go start up your own business.
Right. You can't do competitive activity with your prior employer. And Wisconsin law is fairly unique in that it is a law. It is a court. The Wisconsin Supreme Court has set forth a very strong public policy that favors the employee and his or her right to find a job and earn a livelihood in the area in which they're educated and skilled.
Correct.
So restrictive covenants in Wisconsin are presumed to be reasonable until an employer comes in, or the employee comes in and shows them not to be reasonable. The restrictions typically for restrictive covenants are very narrow in Wisconsin. You have a very limited time period, 2 years at the most. I would not even write that into one of my employment agreements for my clients. I usually go to about a 12 to 18 month period. They're meant to protect a company's trade secrets. They're meant to protect a company's confidentiality or confidential information.
And those are assets of the company.
Absolutely, they're assets, and they are meant to protect a business's legitimate business interests, which are confidential secrets, confidential proprietary technology and methodology, customer lists, price lists, that sort of thing.
One of the more popular examples of what you're talking about is the Coca-Cola recipe.
Absolutely. That's a trade secret that's been kept for over 100 years, and I would assume every employee of Coca-Cola has signed a restrictive covenant employment agreement, and that's how you would protect that trade secret.
Mm-hmm. And so you mentioned that these agreements can't restrict an employee from going to earn a living, because if someone's a chemist and they make their life earnings in chemistry and they quit this company and go to a different company, they're still allowed to work in chemistry, but they can't take any trade secrets with them from employer A to employer B.
That's correct, but many of these covenants will say you can't compete in that same area. So Wisconsin law places very strict requirements on, for instance, the geographical area in which you cannot compete, a list of customers that you cannot go solicit, a list of competitors, for instance, that you may not go work for a very limited period of time.
Somebody might be making the same kind of paper. Paper plant A makes this kind of paper. Plant B makes the same kind of paper. So the employee might be restricted from working for that plant B for 12 months or...
That's correct.
Okay.
That's correct. You may be restricted from doing the same kind of work within a specific boundary or time period.
So what does that mean to the employee? They need to read that document pretty carefully, don't they?
They need to understand it. Yeah. Employment agreements like that usually require an employee to show their future employer those restrictions. Wisconsin law, I should mention, is a very unique law, because if one of the provisions in a restrictive covenant agreement in an employment agreement is found to be unreasonable by a court, the entire agreement is null and void. It goes away for that employee.
Okay.
And there are new requirements that are being suggested and bills proposed in the State Assembly and State Senate that we can talk about that are trying to change that law.
And we'll continue that conversation right after this break. This was a short segment, but we're going to come back and learn more about those unique situations from Sarah. You're listening to Biz Talk and WHBY, real local radio.
I'm on my way out. I'm booked that day. I'll be washing my hair that night.
No matter what excuse you use, your business's finances won't fix themselves. Albertson Hailing CPAs can take the frustration out of your bookkeeping, taxes, and more. We'll help you understand and manage your situation. Visit albertshailing.com. Albertson Hailing. Personal connections. Positive results. Securities and advisory services offered through Woodbury Financial Services, Inc. Member FINRA SIPC. Tax and accounting services offered through Albertson Hailing CPAs, which is not affiliated with Woodbury Financial.
And welcome back to Biz Talk this morning. We're talking with Sarah DeBruin, who is the owner of Legal Business Edge. Sarah's practice is located on North Mead Street here in Appleton. And we'll be giving out her contact information again in just a moment. I'd like to, in addition to the information that I gave you about SCORE in the last segment about the free and confidential mentoring, I'd also like to mention that we do some things other, in addition, we do webinars and our seminars. And coming up on October 18th, we're partnering with the Fox Cities Chamber of Commerce, 7:30 in the morning till 9 o'clock. The topic is going to be how the impending wage and hour changes will affect your business. So if you have employees in your company and you'd like to learn more about this new law that's coming up, there's going to be a panel of experts, Rebecca Kellner with Associated Benefits and Risk Consulting, Steve Murray, Senior Director of Consulting Services at J.J. Keller & Associates, and Matt Shevchik, Chief Operating Officer at QTI Consulting, QTI Human Resources. They're going to be talking about this new law. Starts at 7:30 in the morning till 9. It's free. It's going to be located at the Associated Benefits and Risk Consulting offices at 711 Eisenhower Drive in Kimberly. To register, please contact the Chamber of Commerce at 734-7101. Just tell them that you're a member or you want to come as a guest. Member, or the attendance is free. And this is a really unique seminar in that they're asking you, when you register, to submit a question for the panelists. So as they, as people register, the panelists will have a number of questions that they can address during the presentations. So check that out. You can learn more about it at Fox Cities, at the Fox Cities Chamber website, Business Breakfast Bites. Check that out at Fox Cities Chamber website. Also, the Fox City SCORE chapter is conducting a Simple Steps program. That's a five-week series. We've already started. The first session was on September 21st. Second session was September 28th. The next three are October 5th, October 12th, and October 19th. We're going to talk about this coming Wednesday. We're going to be talking about building a marketing plan. The fourth session is understanding financial statements and working on financial projections. And the fifth session is, where do you find the money for your business? You can learn more about the Simple Steps program by checking us out at foxcities.score.org. Also want to do a promotion for the Million Cups program out at Fox Valley Tech College. Started in 2012 in Kansas City, the Kauffman Foundation, which is a world-renowned entrepreneurial organization, launched a program called the Million Cups, Cups of Coffee. Every Wednesday morning at 9 o'clock around the country at about 100 different locations, Fox Valley Tech is one of them, entrepreneurs can come together and hear about a 10-minute presentation by a business owner about their business, and the audience offers them advice on how to achieve what the presenter wants to achieve. Maybe it's helping the market better, product innovation, financing needs. It's a very interesting approach. I've attended many of them. And SCORE is also a co-sponsor, along with Fox Valley Tech, Epiphany Law, Emily Steinem, and Fox Communities Credit Union. And we want to invite you to attend these. The next one coming up is October 5th, Wednesday morning at 9 o'clock, Fox Valley Tech. The guest is Jennifer Nowicki, and her business is Cultivate Taste. So check us out. It's going to be a lot of fun, and we hope to see you there. And finally, our SCORE chapter is celebrating our 40th anniversary this year, and we had a lot of fun with that. Our fiscal year ends yesterday. It's October 1st today, so it's a government fiscal year. But our SCORE chapter designated five SCORE clients as recipients of Success and Achievement Awards, and we had a lot of fun putting some videos together of that. And I just want to acknowledge the work and the folks over at Variant Productions in Kaukauna. Working with Isaiah Wells and his team, they put together five beautiful videos for us, and it was a wonderful experience. If you're in business and you're looking to promote your business with videos, I would give you an endorsement to check out Variant Productions. You can reach them at 475-4354. The website is variantproductions.com, and when you do that, like they say, prepare for awesome, and they really are awesome. Well, during the break, we had a caller call in with two quick questions for Sarah, and I'll just pose the questions to Sarah. Sarah, in terms of my company, for example, I've been using the best ice cream in the world phrase for the last 10 years. I've been using that for a long time. Can I still trademark that? Can I protect that?
Well, that particular phrase may not be trademarkable because it's a common business phrase. But say you have a unique tagline to your business and you've been using it for 10 years. Unlike patents, where you have been selling your patented or potentially patentable invention in the marketplace for a year, or it's been known in the marketplace for a year, it's been disclosed to the public for a year, you can't patent that. A trademark, however, can be filed at any time.
Okay. Even
regardless,
20 years later.
Yeah, regardless of how long you've been using it.
You just got to check it out to see if anybody else has it registered.
That's correct. And it has to follow the trademark application requirements.
Yep. And the second question the caller had was, what is the, and maybe this is not really the best, but what is a really effective protocol for implementing business succession? So dad and mom have owned the business for 30 years and they'd like to retire in 10 years. What kind of documentation or what is the protocol for passing that business on to their children? Or maybe someone comes in to buy it, or maybe they merge it into a bigger company or another competitor. What's a protocol to follow there?
Well, typically it depends on the type of business.
Sure.
You know, 90%, north of 90% of the new businesses started in Wisconsin are LLCs, and that's because it's the most flexible form of business. You have an operating agreement between one or more members that you can change and that you can plan for those succession events.
Mm-hmm.
For instance, if you have one or more members in an LLC and one of the members passes away during the existence or lifetime of the LLC, you can have an operating agreement that allows for the LLC to purchase the shares of the surviving spouse of that deceased member. And you can also plan for succession events by adding new members through the operating agreement. In a corporate structure, any kind of corporation, you're going to have a board, you're going to have to go through board formalities, you're going to have board resolutions that will say we're winding up the business, we're transferring the business. Those decisions have to be made by a board of directors.
It's like a resolution of the board.
Absolutely.
All the directors vote on a resolution.
Right, you have a shareholders agreement and you need to change how that shareholders agreement relates to the corporation and how it's going to be perhaps wound down or a new member or a new buyer is going to come in and buy a certain amount of shares.
So there's really no one checklist for everybody. Every situation is a little bit different, but there's a general formula to follow, steps to follow when it comes, when mom and dad decide to bequeath their business or to their children or some sell it to someone, they need to follow a process. And industry, every business is a little bit different, but they're all kind of the same formula. One step first and then take the next step and the next step. You have experience doing that?
Yes,
as an attorney?
I do that pretty often, and then it's really the easiest way. You don't really want to bequeath it as part of your probate.
Right.
You want to do it in the corporate structure itself through the operating agreement or the shareholders agreement, board resolutions if you're a corporation.
And how do folks get a hold of you, Sarah? How can they reach out to you?
Well, you can go to my website and ask for a free consultation. It's www.legalbusinessedge.com.
Mm-hmm.
Give me a call at 920-851-7761.
And you're located on North Mead Street.
Just south of Northland Avenue, a block just south of Northland Avenue on Mead.
Cool. And thank you, caller, for those questions. Those were good questions and very relevant, especially today with so many people approaching retirement age and they have this business but they may not have started planning about it.
Right.
They should start planning a few years ahead of time.
Right.
Check things out with your children or the buyer and position yourself, position your company so you can get the best dollar for the company.
Absolutely. Yep. That's correct.
Sarah, we were talking in the last segment before the break about Wisconsin's unique law regarding restrictive covenants. Can you tell us how that's unique, and is it unique per the federal laws or other states?
Well, it's unique in, compared to other states, and I think I mentioned the blue pencil rule applies in most other states, and that allows courts to just cross out a restrictive covenant that they believe is invalid under the law, or unreasonable.
Yes.
In Wisconsin, that's not the case. The whole agreement would be thrown out. However, there have been bills proposed in the state Senate as well as the state assembly under the Walker administration that will change that and make Wisconsin like other states and have that blue pencil right to give to a court.
So if an agreement had 10 restrictions in it and one of them was very unreasonable, in Wisconsin right now the whole agreement is thrown out.
That is typically what would happen.
But
that's
in
the
other
law.
States, that just that item number 3 of the 10 restriction, number 3 would be thrown out, but the rest of it would remain intact and effective.
If the court agrees and determines that the other provisions are reasonable under their state law, that those restrictions will still be held in place.
So the employer should know this, and employees should know this. If they're signing an agreement, both sides really need to understand what law applies.
Yeah, and especially if you're an employer who employs, if you're an out-of-state employer, for instance, mm-hmm. who employs Wisconsin employees, but even if you are a Wisconsin employer and you have Wisconsin employees, you should be aware of that, and you should watch the fluidity of how the law may progress in the next year or two.
How does that work, Sarah, if a company is headquartered in Illinois and they have locations in Wisconsin and they have these agreements, which law applies?
Well, it depends on what the agreement says. Okay. Typically, the employer will put in Illinois law, Ohio law applies, but the state of Wisconsin, the Supreme Court, has said they will ignore those provision of law agreements because of the strong public policy in favor of the employee to have a right to earn a livelihood
here. Who lives
in
Wisconsin.
Right.
So the Supreme Court has said, we don't care if you say we're formed in New Jersey or Illinois or Texas.
They're going to apply Wisconsin law if the employee is sitting and working here in Wisconsin.
That's pretty powerful for the employee.
It is.
I know that Wisconsin also has some very strict processes and steps for a franchisor to come into Wisconsin and sell their franchises to Wisconsin people. They have to meet some standards of performance and representation in their agreements. Not everybody who sells franchises can come to Wisconsin and market to the
country. Absolutely. Every state law is going to be different. There are pretty strict franchise statutes here in Wisconsin.
So I think that should give a lot of Wisconsinites comfort that the state system is watching out for us by protecting us from some franchisors who might be
illegitimate. I think that's
illegitimate.
That's good. You should, if you're going to buy a franchise, consult with a lawyer and see how those laws benefit you and how you can make the most of those benefits under the law.
Mm-hmm. Did you want to talk any more about restrictive covenants, the contract employment situation at all? Is there anything else to
cover?
If
you're an employer and you do have trade secrets and you do have a need to protect your business by not having employees who you've trained go out and quit and start their own business, you want to probably consult a lawyer, look at what is reasonable for your business and mm-hmm. what type of restrictions you can put on the employees you hire.
Mm-hmm.
If you have existing employment agreements, Wisconsin law also allows you to amend those employment agreements with employees so they now comply with the reasonableness tests that the Wisconsin Supreme Court has put forth for restrictive covenants. And the Wisconsin Supreme Court also ruled in the last several years that you don't have to give any extra consideration. You used to have to give an employee a bonus to sign a new employment agreement. Now it's ample consideration to just continue to employ that employer.
So if an employee refused to sign the amended agreement, the employer is within their rights to terminate the employee?
They are. It's an employment at will, or the employment agreement will determine the rights to fire that employee.
Okay.
Typically, though, an employment agreement with restrictive covenants is just that. It doesn't spell out an employment arrangement with an employee.
Right. But if the employer is going to amend that agreement and the employee refuses to sign it, that could be a legitimate reason to dismiss that employee.
Absolutely, especially if they're employee at will. And most employees in Wisconsin are employees at will.
What does that mean exactly?
That means the employer can terminate your employment for any reason. You have blue hair, you have tattoos.
Or
no reason at all.
I just don't want you around anymore.
Bye. Correct.
And that's it.
That's right.
Yeah. And a lot of employers will probably go that route because if they give a reason, then they may be challenged on that reason.
Right. As long as it's a lawful reason, you're terminating someone.
Right.
Definitely.
Mm-hmm. We're going to be taking our next break in just a few seconds here. So the next question will wait for the next segment. We'll come back on the other side and conclude the last part of the program with Sarah DeBruin, the owner of Legal Business Edge here in Appleton. You're listening to Biz Talk on WHBY, Real Local Radio.
I am attorney Sarah DeBruin, owner of Legal Business Edge, and I want you to know your options. We can partner with you to reach creative legal solutions for your business, from contract drafting and negotiation, patents and trademarks, commercial transactions, and governmental compliance.
Timely and candid answers coupled with high energy and passion define Sarah's approach to legal counsel.
Know your options. Call me at 920-851-7761 or visit legalbusinessedge.com.
Subtract line 6 from 13. Put in box 5 on form 1040EZ. Easy? Really?
Taxes can be daunting, especially when it comes to your business. From asset protection to payroll and more, we can help reduce the stress of your business's financial situation. Visit AlbertsHaling.com. Alberts & Haling. Personal connections, positive results. Securities and advisory services offered through Woodbury Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA, SIPC. Tax and accounting services offered through Alberts & Haling CPAs, which is not affiliated with Woodbury Financial.
This is Bruce Lammers, president of Ridgestone Bank. When it comes to business lending, you know we don't have boxes. I'm here with Christy Schwan from Stellaris Employee Benefits. We help Christy with a business buyout in a unique area of lending, the service industry.
I did talk with other banks that had some significant limitations on how they might be able to help me. I didn't have any hard assets on which they could base their valuation. Ridgestone Bank's financing decisions were not based on hard assets. Instead, what I had was cash flow, so they were able to, again, look at things in a very unique way and in a way that allowed me to purchase companies in what was typically a complex situation, and they made it very, very simple for me. Because of their flexibility, because of the range of options that they provided for me, I don't think I'd be sitting where I am today if I hadn't worked with Ridgestone Bank.
Ridgestone Bank, listening to your story and finding a way to make it work. Whatever your it is. On the web at Ridgestone.com. That's Ridgestone.com. Member FDIC.
And welcome back to BizTalk this morning. I'd like to just acknowledge the sponsors who help bring BizTalk to you each weekend. We couldn't do it without them. They include Fox Communities Credit Union, Alberts & Haling CPAs, Sarah DeBruin, Legal Business Edge, LLC. Thank you, Sarah. Also, Ridgestone Bank. We also want to thank Tundraland. Brian Gottlieb and Tundraland have their new sponsor with us. And by the way, they're going to be our guests next weekend. And also want to thank Candeo Creative for building our website, biztalkwithscore.com. If you have missed a program or you would like to re-listen to a program, go to biztalkwithscore.com. We archive our programs out there, and I'm sure you'll enjoy listening to Sarah again during the next few weeks to hear about intellectual property things. And also want to thank Larry Desch and Jerry Mader at the Business News for helping to promote our program and their biweekly periodical, the Business News. If you're in business or thinking of going into business, you should be subscribed to the Business News for only $20 a year. It's going to help you understand what's going on in the business climate and the business environment in East Central Wisconsin. Help you network and get your word out to other people about what your business is. So thank you to all of our sponsors. Sarah, we were going to cover the overtime law, the new overtime law that's coming out. Tell us a little bit about that.
Sure. That was passed under the Fair Labor Standards Act in May. It's going to be effective December 1st, and it's going to significantly limit an employer's ability to classify certain white-collar or salaried employees as exempt from the overtime rules.
Okay.
Right now, it's basically an HR-type question. So this is targeted for HR employees, really. Currently, right now, there are only 7% of full-time workers in the United States who are subject to overtime rules. In 1975, it was at 62%, and this new law will make employees who are full-time, 35% of such employees over in the country will now be subject to overtime laws. It's going to cost employers $1 billion
so
to comply.
From 7% application to 35?
That's correct.
Wow.
And I'll explain why. Currently, if an employee is performing a white-collar job, that means it an office-type job, administrative, professional-type service,
yeah,
management services, if that employee is paid $455 a week and you're not performing those duties, you have the ability to earn time and a half once you've worked over 40 hours in a consecutive week. That is a non-exempt employee.
So 40 hours a week, it's not 8 hours a day. If I work 12 hours one day...
No, and yeah. In Wisconsin...
It's got to be a weekly...
Yeah, in Wisconsin, okay. You look at the 40-hour work week over 7 consecutive days. Now, what the new law will do is it practically doubles those limits. And an employee who is performing non-management, non-administrative, non-professional services who makes $913 per week or up to $47,476 a year will now be given overtime. The federal law even goes one step further to try to capture the amount of exempt or non-exempt employees. So it says if even one of those responsibilities falls upon an employee, say you're a foreman in a plant and you are performing a management role.
Right.
Formerly, you may have been non-exempt employee, but now you are going, or formerly you were an exempt employee, right. Now you're going to be a non-exempt employee who will get overtime pay. But there are many ways in which employers are going to be getting around this, because it's going to prohibit extending benefits. It's going to come out of the other benefits an employer will provide employees. And an employer may decide, if you're at that threshold of $47,000 a year, that they're going to raise your salary a bit so they don't have to pay overtime.
Yes.
They may cut your hours.
Or they may go to robotics.
Right. They may
jobs.
Cut your hours.
Yeah.
Or if you already regulate are working long hours, they're going to limit your hours to under 40 hours.
And we're going to be talking more about this at that event on October 18th. I mentioned it earlier at the Associated Benefits and Risk Consulting location at 711 Eisenhower Drive. It's being sponsored by the Fox Cities Chamber, and SCORE is helping to promote this event. October 18th from 7:30 in the morning till 9 o'clock. Register by contacting the Chamber. If you're a Chamber member, you can register online, or you can call 734-7101. As can anyone who's not a Chamber member. It's free. When you're calling in, if you're not a Chamber member, just indicate you want to come as a guest. And you can bring a question for the panelists to talk about this.
That's a great idea.
Now, if folks want to contact you and learn more about this, how do they do that?
My legalbusinessedge.com website, or 920-851-7761.
We have 20 seconds for a biz tip, Sarah. What's a pearl of wisdom?
A pearl of wisdom is know your options. If you have a business question that involves legal issues, know your options, see a good attorney.
Sounds good, Sarah. Thank you very much for being our guest this morning. It is a very informative program, a lot of material covered. If you want to re-listen to the program, www.biztalkwithscore.com. Talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
Had a great time.